Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is dedicated to the President of the United States for a couple of reasons, and I'm going to handle the birth issue head on today, and I'll tell you why. The reason is that the entire Republican Party, all of the Republican hacks at National Review, are attacking Donald Trump on the birther issue. That's because the talking points were sent out by the Republican Party to the stooges on other places to put down Donald Trump and say the birther issue is solved. Now, let me tell you where I come from. Here's the problem with the birther issue. To me, you have to analyze it from my point of view. It's irrelevant where he was born in one sense, but quite relevant in another. Why is it relevant? Because if he wasn't born here, then he's not qualified to be president. However, even if it turns out to be true that Barack was not born here, it's too late to impeach him for that, in the sense that it would take 2 years to get an impeachment or any other hearing going with this Congress, at which point he'd be out of business anyway. That's number one. But to link all of your criticisms about this Marxist president to this birth issue is a disastrous error for two reasons. Firstly, because his biggest crimes and misdemeanors are not about where he was born, but about his social policies, most particularly his economic policies, which are classic Das Kapital Marxism. Secondly, there's another major problem with this, which is that I believe he's probably going to pull out an authentic birth certificate or facsimile thereof just around the time of the debates during the next election when he faces his Republican opponent. Now, if he does that, it's the end of the road for the Republicans if they've linked themselves to this issue. But even if they haven't linked themselves to this issue, they're finished. Why? Let's say the candidate is a middle-of-the-road guy like Romney, who has never said a word about the birther issue. Obama's going to pull out his, quote, real birth certificate. And if Romney should, God forbid, accuse Barack truthfully of being a Marxist socialist on the economic level, which I doubt he would have the guts to do anyway, Obama's going to pull out the real birth certificate, smirk, and say, you know, Mitt, here's the problem with your argument. Your crackpot extremist Republican Party accused me of not even being an American, and yet here's my birth certificate. And now you're standing there and you're saying that I'm a Marxist, when in fact I'm a centrist simply trying to help the most number of people. That's the end of the Republican Party as we know it. And that's why the birther controversy is a disastrous issue on which to hang all of our criticisms of this Marxist president. Remember who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a Chicago gangster regime that is printing money based upon nothing. They have the printing presses. And if they can print money and they can print bonds that have no value whatsoever, why do you assume that they couldn't forge an original birth certificate, quote unquote, at the end of the road and use this instrument to foist this charlatan upon America again? That's my position on the birther issue. Now I'll take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. You can agree, disagree. What are you going to agree or disagree with? I mean, what did I actually just say? I said a couple of things. I said, don't hang all of your criticisms of this charlatan on the birther issue. It's a dead end. You can't win with it. That's number one. What else did I say? I said, whether or not he was born here, he's going to come up with a real, quote-unquote, birth certificate and wave it in the face of his Republican opposition at the end of the road, which will be a disaster for those who link themselves to it. So that leads us back to what Donald Trump. Why did he make this his number one issue? Why? Because I think his advisor is a Trojan horse. I told him that. I sent him an email about that. When I learned 2 weeks ago that Obama's number one advisor is an Obama supporter and a Dukakis supporter and a lifetime liberal Democrat lawyer, I said, oh, my God. He may be a good lawyer, as most of these psycho liberals are, but I believe he's working for Obama without Trump even recognizing it, and Trump has fallen into that guy's trap. I said that to him. That's one man's opinion. That's one man's opinion. Now, here's another topic I want to link it to, because it has no relationship whatsoever. San Francisco voters asked to ban circumcision. It is somewhat related in that when we say birth and I say circumcision, they are linked, like, in some way, at least in my mind. So the crazies in San Francisco have a ballot initiative that they want to put on the ballot in San Francisco to make circumcision illegal. They say it's a harmful thing and that it should be banned even amongst for religious reasons. It would be a misdemeanor to circumcise a child for any reason except a valid medical reason. So in other words, they're attacking Jews and Muslims in particular. This psycho has been after this for years, and he wants to ban circumcision. Now, the funny part is here is that these sick, demented, verminous leftists are all upset about a small portion of a man's anatomy, but they think that it's okay to dismember the same baby in a womb and call it choice or abortion. Did you hear what I just said? These disgusting remnants of human beings are upset about circumcision, saying that it's mutilating a child, while they have no qualms whatsoever about mutilating an entire baby in the womb. Why? Because they live in San Francisco, and San Francisco, as you well know, is the exemplar of why I say liberalism is a mental disorder. But would you like to comment on this? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. San Francisco is run by the craziest people on earth. They're not au courant. They're not the tip of the spear. These are leftovers, backwards, demented, frightening, stupid, boring, out-of-towners who moved here and made a name for themselves with the other crazies. Nevertheless, it's worthy of discussion because this is the only thing they have to worry about in this city. You want to talk about the birther issue? Do you want to talk about the circumcision issue? There are many other topics. I'll get to all of them on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Texas. Heidi, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. The reason the birther issue doesn't matter, and I'm with you on this, but the reason the birther issue doesn't matter is that he is going to show a birth certificate, and he still sucks. It doesn't matter whether he gets a birth certificate or not. He's still like the suckiest president that we've ever had.
I understand, but the problem that I presented is a little different, which is that if you link all of your criticisms of this imposter on the birth issue, we're finished.
Agree, and they should be linking it to stuff that's like valuable, like the demise of our
entire See, country. The reason Trump surged in the polls is because he is a successful, charismatic businessman. He should have stuck to economics. He should not have gotten into this birther issue, and it's still not too late for him to do it. He can move away from it. He doesn't have to deny what he said. He now should hammer, look, no matter what, he should say this. But he's not going to listen to me. He won't even come on the show anymore. Apparently, the Democrats working for him got to him, and he only goes on to the friendly shows. For some reason, I'm friendly to him. I consider him a friend. I don't mean an intimate friend, but I consider him a friend. But he won't come on the show anymore. That's okay. I'm used to that. But the fact of the matter is, it's still not too late for Donald Trump to save his campaign if he's really interested in running for the presidency. That's another story. All he's got to say is, look, I've covered the birther issue. Now let's talk about economics. I am a successful businessman. I've employed thousands of people. I've built many buildings. People are employed by me. Obama has built nothing, never run a business. He could not run a hot dog stand. And on economics alone, as a fiscally sound individual, I want you to understand that this man is a disaster for America. Here's what I would do to save America. That's what he should be doing. Economics, fiscalism. He would run all over Obama on this. And I'm surprised he hasn't done it. And my only suspicion is that his advisor is a lifetime stealth Trojan horse Democrat. Thanks, Nicole. Okay. Any other topics you want to talk about? Circumcision? You want to talk about circumcision? You want to talk about the birth issue? Ex-czar Van Jones helping to push human rights for Mother Nature. Okay. Federal judge agrees with ACLU that illegals are targeted because they're Hispanic. It doesn't matter that they're running drugs. No, what matters is that the ethnicity is it. So there it is. The ACLU should be driven out of America. They're un-American. The ACLU is not American. It's not the American Civil Liberties Union. It is the ACLU is to America exactly what Obama is to the presidency. Not born in the USA. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Some people refuse to believe that President Obama was born in the United States, no matter what. But what's the real story, and what does the evidence say? Well, our CNN's national correspondent, Gary Tuchman, he traveled.
All right, so CNN's running a full court press trying to debase anyone who questions where Obama was born, which to me is an issue, but not the most important issue. It's his Marxism that is a much bigger issue as far as I am concerned. He's an imposter for sure. It wouldn't matter whether he was born there or Indonesia. Sure, I'd like to know where he was born, but they're going to fabricate a birth certificate. If they can print money, they can forge anything. So what are you chasing the wrong issue here? Don't you understand that? The issue shouldn't be the birth issue. The issue should be his fiscal irresponsibility, his bankrupting of America, his attack on the military, his attack on NASA. I spelled it all out in Trickle Up Poverty. I'm not new to this discussion. And I think that to run down this road is a disastrous error. Irrelevant, in my opinion, because even if it turns out he was born in Indonesia, you're not going to know it. They're going to fabricate a real birth certificate. They can forge one. How hard do you think it would be to forge a, quote, original birth certificate? John in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Michael. You're my hero. Michael, no one except you have brought up in a way that Obama is really the golden boy for the New World Order. Now, I know I may sound crazy to the public, but if you look, why would the Middle East, all of the Middle East, suddenly after 40 years, one day they all woke up and they're taking over the government? They're being brainwashed. It's a CIA operation. I know I may sound crazy, but it's happening. And Obama.
Yeah, why? What do you mean? The Arab Spring? Dictators are arising. The Muslim Brotherhood is arising. What Arab Spring? It's not as though democracy is going to replace the dictatorships that are being overthrown. It's a far worse reversion to 15th century Islam that's going to appear in these countries. What am I, the only one who sees that? I'm not the only one. I may be the first one to have warned about this in Egypt. But go tell that to the schmucks on CNN like that son of a gun, that Anderson Cooper who celebrated the overthrow of Mubarak. He should be tried for crimes against humanity, in my opinion. And I'll repeat it until somebody hears me. Anderson Cooper should be tried for crimes against humanity for glorifying the revolution in Egypt, saying that it was just young people with Blackberries when in fact it was the Muslim Brotherhood. The hell with these people.
Michael, the Republicans and Democrats, either side is bringing up the vital points to save this country. It proves they're all in on the agenda. Whoever is not will be taken out in some fashion. This is why Donald Trump, who I admire and would vote for, can never win. They won't allow it. And as smart as he is, he's being misled just as you have said.
Yes, he's being misled, A, by his number one advisor, who it turned out we learned 2 weeks ago, is an Obama supporter, a Dukakis supporter, and a lifetime liberal Democrat. How could Donald Trump not see that?
You understand how savvy they are. That answers the question, because Donald Trump is no idiot. They are coy. They've ruined John McCain. They've turned him into rubbish.
Yes. John McCain is a rubber chicken. I wouldn't say he's rubbish. He's become a rubber chicken. He's about as relevant as a chicken dinner at the Hilton Hotel during a campaign.
Michael, the answers are so simple to save our country, as you have brought up every evening. Why will not one Republican or Democrat come up with the same idea? Because they're all on the train. And if they're not, they'll be exposed to a sex scandal, a drug scandal, an adultery.
Absolutely. That's how I see it. Or it may not even be a scandal that they're holding over their head. They're holding the purse strings over their head, which is, tell you what, you go back to Mississippi, you want that bridge to nowhere, then stop criticizing the New World Order. We'll give you the bridge to nowhere. Did you notice Haley Barbour suddenly dropped out? He didn't have a ghost of a chance. But, of course, he dropped out. Why do you think he dropped out? There's a reason for it, isn't there?
There certainly is. The pharmaceutical companies and the special interests are running this world.
And well, that is true. But now, here's the issue. The issue is the transnational companies and their lack of loyalty to any one nation. They have a loyalty to their bottom line. They have to answer to their stockholders. They have to show a profit. Now, since the emerging markets in China and India in particular are vast and very appealing to them, they could care less about the United States of America as a national entity. They don't see it as a nation anymore. They see it as a market. And once the transnationals came to see all nations as simple markets, nationhood took a second took the second place to that. Where does that leave the people who love their country? Well, we're called every name under the sun, nativists, bumpkins, you name it. But I will remind you that when push comes to shove, you're going to find out just how nationalist China is. When push comes to shove, you're going to find out just how nationalist India is. You're going to find out how nationalist Russia is. And you're going to find out that without a national identity, we have lost everything. It will be as though we have become a soulless individual, a golem wandering the face of the earth.
To bankrupt our country. Take away the people's money and economy, and they are useless. And this is the agenda. China is the player in this fact. They've given them the ball. Run with it, China. Ruin our economy. They want this to happen. It's too simple because it could be corrected within 6 months. This is an agenda. People should look up the New World Order. It is happening. It won't happen right.
I can tell that when you tell this to your family, they think you're crazy.
They think I'm a crackpot. Oh, there's John again. He's on his soap wagon.
So, John, what are they all lifetime liberal Democrats?
No, they're Republicans. They're very...
Oh, they're middle-of-the-road Rockefeller-Romney types.
And the proof is, the very first time I ever heard you, years ago, I heard you one night and says, this is the first man in my entire life that is saying exactly the things I think.
That's right. I'm a dangerous man in that regard.
Savage.
They were so glad to give up the news by the Southland. Gave birth to the blues.
See, we're using anything with the word birth in it. That's Sammy Davis Jr., Birth to the Blues, Birth of the Blues. And let me hear it for a minute, will you?
Birth.
I don't even say the word, but I fear I would trigger it. But now I'm talking about it head on, and I'm saying it's the wrong issue for Donald Trump to continue hammering for the reasons I spelled out. My essay is on Michael Savage if you want to read it. Donald Trump can only win if he really wants to win. He's got to do a Ross Perot. He's got to get down to the issue that people care about, which is the bread and butter issue. Obama's printing money. Obama's catering to China and Russia and India. Obama's selling America out economically. Just stick to that issue and talk about what he would do as a businessman who has built things and the tens of thousands of people he's employed. That would get him elected. This collateral issue, as important as it may be to so many people in America, is not the issue that could catapult anyone into the White House. It's negative. Don't you understand? You can't run on a negative. You can run on a positive. You can keep attacking him on a negative regarding his Marxism. Without saying the word Karl Marx, just keep talking about printing money, talking about no tariffs. Keep talking about how other countries charge tariffs on American goods and we're not charging. Talk about why Iraq hasn't paid us in oil. Talk about why Mexico hasn't paid us in oil for the cost of the illegal aliens in this country. I mean, those are issues that can get you elected. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I've been in this business longer than Donald Trump has. I've had my stethoscope on the heart of America longer than Donald Trump has. With all due respects to his business acumen, he does not know the hearts and minds of the American people the way I do. I know it as well as anybody in this country, if not better. And I'm telling you, there's only one way to beat Obama. This group is too clever to beat on any other issue but economics. Gasoline will be $6 a gallon. What a golden issue for him to use. Just get up there with a chart and show what it was when Obama took office and show the escalating cost of gasoline. And then show what you would do if you were president when you force Iraq to pay us with oil. show what would happen to the cost of gas with a descending cost, what would happen when you start drilling in the slopes of Alaska and you start drilling for for the shale in the far west. Just show what will happen when you start drilling again in the Gulf of Mexico like foreign nations are still doing once Obama, the communist Marxist professor, is back with a staple gun. Don't you understand that? New York, WOR, Mike, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I went ballistic when I heard he won't come back on your show. He doesn't have a shot. We need that man in the White House. He's the last shot this country has, and without you backing him up and advising him, he's got some left-wing lawyer backing him up? No,
yes.
We need people like you.
Yes, he has a left-wing Obama-supporting lawyer who is his campaign manager, and that's the end of Donald Trump's campaign as far as I can tell. This guy is the one who told him to go with the birther issue because this guy is a Trojan horse in Donald's camp as far as I can tell.
Dr. Savage, you know, you called Obama a naked Marxist I don't know how many years ago. You're always ahead of the curve, and I am telling you that McCain went goofy. I don't know what he's doing over there. That Middle East is nothing but a bottom.
Yeah. You're right. A bottomless pit that's going to turn on us in a way we can't even imagine. Chicago, Illinois, WIND, Scott, go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike, you're the only one with the stones to admit that there would be a forgery. This guy he's got a story every week, something going wrong. Of course he would forge this document.
Yeah, how hard is it for the U.S. government, which has all the power on earth, to forge an original birth certificate?
Pointed out before.
How hard is it to forge one? Let's say it doesn't exist. They can forge one.
Right.
So that's what they're going to do. And they're going to do it at the point of the campaign against the Republican candidate, who will probably be Romney.
But if he does forge it, though, there is a big problem. Because people are going to say, wait a minute, there really wasn't a birth certificate, but you waited all this time to find one?
No, what he'll say is I didn't want to stoop to their level and answer and start answering their questions at that time because I had so many important things to do to save this country. I didn't want to distract the American people with that extremist right-wing stupidity. That's what Obama will say.
Did you see that O'Reilly thing when he said that he was going to set the spin zone right on what the questions were? He missed half the important questions about...
No, I don't listen to O'Reilly. He's a charlatan. I'm sorry. The reason O'Reilly lost his radio show is because people were able to hear what he was saying without listening to the con man with the Blarney Stone, you know, in front of him. I'm sorry, I have no respect for O'Reilly at all. I'm not going to sit here and say I do. I believe he is. He's given up a lot of his credibility. He does a fairly good job in many areas. We're more or less on the same plane in certain places, but it's not a personal thing. I think that he's moved so far to the center that he's making mistakes.
Mike, he's proved that he's a fraud. You have proved that you're not a fraud.
I don't know what he is. All I know is he's an entertainer. He began an entertainment tonight, and that's where he's going to end up. That's all. At the end of the day, O'Reilly could wind up with a black robe being Judge Judy. And instead of a gavel, he could have a shillelagh. But look, I don't want to talk about the leprechaun. I really want to stick to the issue of the charlatan in the White House because I don't think we have much time left. This guy is so deadly, it's beyond belief. Thank you for the call. Hey, look at all these good callers. And not no one on the circumcised issue. I thought that would get you excited. You know, not only the Jewish people have circumcision as part of their birth ritual, but so do Muslim people. You think that the Muslims in San Francisco are going to let these whack job anti-Americans tell them they can't circumcise their sons? I really don't think so. But, of course, that's never stopped the stupid people of San Francisco from voting on a thing like that. They tie up the Golden Gate Bridge on a Friday night, and they call it freedom. If it was me, I'd unleash the police force on and throw their bicycles in the bay and arrest them for 30 days. I'd put them into Pelican Bay and make them do a toilet duty for tying up the streets. But, you know, that's why I'm not a politician. New York, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike Savage, yes, hi, I have a friend who was born in Hawaii, and just so happens today, he showed me his birth certificate. The black and white birth certificate that I have from New York, that
right.
You have, that my sister, my mother, my wife have.
Right.
So that story of him not being able to get a birth certificate from Hawaii is a lie.
Well, It doesn't, you know, you see, but it's a moot point. My point is different. Whether he was born there or not is almost irrelevant right now. What's important is to understand the game that his handlers are playing here. They're going to come up with a quote-unquote original birth certificate at the time of the campaign, and it's going to torpedo the opposition if they tie themselves too closely to the issue, Mike.
Oh, I agree. It's really not an issue, but why lie and say you can't get one? Newsday, the Long Island newspaper, printed an article Sunday, a half-page article on the law of Hawaii saying you can't get a birth certificate.
And well, because the entire left-wing American press is now in full-court gear supporting Barack Obama. They've attacked Trump, and they've gone after him on this issue because obviously they're afraid of this issue. But it just shows you how frightened they are on this issue. My point, though, is that we should not hang all of our criticisms of Obama on this one peg. That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Mike. Let me get off the phone.
I mean, the guy has so many other flaws and mistakes. How can you make this the whole issue? That's all. That's all I'm saying. Indiana, Randy, your opinion. Go ahead.
Michael, you are exactly right. This is crazy for the Republicans to go off on a tangent. I'll tell you another reason why. Let's suppose, for example, that he can't produce a birth certificate. His mother was a natural-born citizen. That's going to get caught up forever in the courts. He'll always be able to prove that he was a natural-born citizen because of his mother.
Well, you know, we get into the fun. What if he was not born in Hawaii, though, even though she's a natural-born American, and he was born, let's say, in Kenya or Indonesia? Let's take it to that extreme. He wasn't born here. He would have had to have been born here to be an American citizen.
Well, the courts will go into a long spiel about what constitutes a natural-born citizen, and then it won't matter.
But again, once we get – this is way past what I'm saying. The issue is not where he was born. The issue is how he's going to use this issue to his advantage. You know what I'm saying? If you read the theories of Chinese warfare going back, I believe, to Sun Tzu, their theory of warfare is very interesting. They used it against us in Vietnam with their proxy Viet Cong fighters. General Giap, if you've ever studied what he did. General Giap knew he could never win against the American military. It was too powerful in a head-on-head battle. So what did General Giap do? He used Sun Tzu's principles of war, which is attack the enemy where they're weak. And so what he used was a hit-and-run tactic against the American troops. You know that, right? I mean, you know vaguely what I'm talking about, correct?
Exactly.
All right. So given that the Obama team elected a charlatan and got away with it, do you think that they're naive? They know what they're going to do. They're studying the opposition right now, and they understand that the weakness of the opposition is exactly where the opposition thinks its strength is. So the opposition right now thinks, oh, yeah, we got a great issue with this birth issue. That's exactly where Obama's going to run them over. He's going to crush them on this issue. It's the precise wrong issue to use to go after Obama when you can go after him on the cost of gasoline alone. Just the cost of gasoline and the cost of groceries would be enough to sink any other president. But because there is a foolishness in this land, they're using the very wrongest issue they possibly could, which is where this man was born. It's all on michaelsavage.com. I wrote an article on it, okay? 1-800-449-8255. You want to talk about anything else? Chicago, Eric. Topic, please. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I was calling about the circumcisions in San Francisco for males. What
yeah.
it stems from is actually against the Muslim community. Because the United States as a whole has banned female circumcision, which is quite common in the religion of Islam. And it's kind of like what is good for the goose is good for the gander. If we have to do it for the females, we have to do it for the men. Several other counties in the U.S. have actually tried it in different states. It never passes, but it has happened before.
Well, we could actually talk about this topic from a different point of view, but I think it's a personal decision whether or not one circumcises their son at birth, okay? That's a separate issue entirely. But to put it on a ballot and make it an issue of law is the wrong approach.
Oh, I agree 100%. However, they did make it law that you can't circumcise.
Well, that's right, because the throwback visitors from the Middle East were mutilating their young girls. They weren't just circumcising them, they were mutilating them.
Correct.
It was a nightmare what they were doing to these young girls. Mutilating them. They were not circumcising them surgically. They were mutilating their young girls because that's what they learned in their homeland. Isn't it wonderful the degree that we're taking into this country today? The type of people we're bringing in here?
Absolutely. It's
unbelievable. That's all. Go take a look in the malls, walking around in 15th century costumes. The burqa is not even in the Quran, by the way. This is a recent appendage of radical Islam. It's an affront to civilization to dress a woman up in a rug like that. Amazon.com's profit tumbles more than expected. My problem. Mayor Lee opposes shark fin soup ban. See what's important here in San Francisco? We have a new mayor, Mayor Lee. The other one went to, the PETA principle. He was so incompetent as a mayor, he became lieutenant governor. That's the PETA principle. That's what Gavin Newsom got lost in cyberspace in Sacramento. No one's heard from him since. So the congenial Annie Toosom Newsom went to Sacramento where he belongs. Now we have a Mayor Lee who no one ever heard of, a mild man who likes shark fin soup. And people want to ban shark fin soup because they're killing sharks. It's horrible what these animals are doing. They're catching sharks, cutting their fins off, and throwing the shark back into the sea. Unbelievable barbarism. Total barbarism. You want to talk about shark fin soup, or do you want to talk about Barack Hussein Obama's birth? What do you want to talk about? Circumcision? 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Back in a minute.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about should circumcision be banned. Of course, it's a personal choice, but the psychotics in San Francisco who say it's a woman's choice to mutilate a baby in the name of abortion and freedom are now saying it's illegal to circumcise a baby. This shows you the demented nature of liberals. It's okay to kill a child, kill a fetus, kill a child, doesn't matter to them, but you can't circumcise a newborn. It just shows you the demented nature of the city I live in. But you see, it's not their city. To me, they're like disease viruses who invaded a beautiful city. This is the most beautiful city on earth to me. I love it dearly. And I'm not going to let a few disease germs, no matter how many there are, take over. It's like a plague took over the city, a plague of liberalism. And like all plagues, it'll burn itself out eventually. And this city will one day again be a mainstream American city eventually when the plague burns itself out. All plagues end. This plague of insane leftist liberalism will burn itself out. Once it's over, it'll be over. They'll be gone. Most of them have no children anyway. New York, WOR, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, good evening. It's a pleasure to have been selected to be on your show this evening. I'm a longtime fan of 8 years, and I just want to continue to do the wonderful work that you're doing. You're just absolutely tremendous, and you're the only true voice that can really bring our points across to the populace. But a couple of the items that had crossed my mind of late had been the issues of Barack Obama's birth. In other words, is Barack Obama Sr. really his father?
And right. The Franklin Davis issue certainly is an obscure one, but an important one.
Yes, I have found that to be quite compelling. And the other item that had crossed my mind as well is whether or not his mother had been of legal age to have conferred citizenship upon him. In other words, if she had not been of legal age, he certainly would not be qualified to be an American citizen.
I think the issue is not so much where he was born, but look at his mother. I mean, with all due respects to anyone's mother, and we don't choose our parents, and without casting aspersions on the president's mother, look who she married the first time, and look who she married the second time. What does that tell you about her mental state with regard to Americans and American men?
I agree 100%. She certainly had some very, very, very crazy views at that time. Obviously, she was a free spirit, as she has been termed in the press, to be quite kind.
Free spirit is what they call somebody that they want to, do a whitewash on. They call conservatives who are free spirits in another way something else. Fanatics, extremists, maniacs, right-wing nuts. They don't call us free spirits, do they, if we love this country? Suddenly we're not a free spirit? You mean if you marry somebody and you raise the family and stick it out through the hardest times, that's something that they don't glorify? But if you run off with one man from Kenya who ditches you 2 days later, and then you meet somebody from Indonesia, run off with him, that's a free spirit? I would call it something else, by the way.
I agree
But it's irrelevant what his mother was. It's what she did to his mind. She schlepped him to Indonesia and put him in a madrasas, which is a Muslim day school. You understand that, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. So his earliest training was in a foreign language and in a foreign conceptualization of what a society should be. Indonesia is not America. Their social structure is not American. I'm talking as a professional anthropologist prior to my PhD. So the Indonesian social structure is what he was ingrained with, along with the, let us put it to you this way, the, quote, free-spirited hippie mentality. Now you have him as the president. So he's the ultimate left-wing progressive communist in the White House. That's the issue, not where he was born. It's the man's social values, or a lack thereof, that we are talking about. But that's not going to get anyone elected. I think you'll agree with me, Robert, that the only issue that Trump and everyone else should be hammering is economics, economics, economics. Remember Ross Perot? He came along and he picked up the hood of the car and he said, well, I'm going to fix this country the way the engine isn't running right. I'll fix it. Everyone loved that homespun view of things. We understood that because it was a simple message and a true message. The economy was in shambles. He was a successful businessman. We wanted a businessman to run America. People didn't give a damn about social policy. They cared about economic policy. And Trump went off on a tangent here. He better get back to what he knows best, which is economics, 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 or he's going to wind up, frankly, destroying his own credibility at the end of the day.
Thing that could happen would be to hand the candidacy over to someone like Mitt Romney, who, you know, as you had stated many, many times, is a wonderful man, a very fine man.
Wonderful man, unelectable, because he's a check pants country club Republican with no fire in his belly. We don't need a nice guy running against Obama. We need somebody who's a street fighter to run against this guy.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Send him. It is the Savage Nation. Don't worry. I just want to hear a little of Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson. Pensions, pensions, pensions. Cops, firemen, teachers. I mean, there's only so much, you know, that you could take out of a system. Excuse me, I have to sneeze. So the issue today, the important issue today, is the birther issue. And I've spent an hour, you know, explaining why I think it's the wrong road to go down. It's almost irrelevant where he was born in one sense and quite relevant in another. And it's a loser issue in the sense that I described to you in the last hour. You could read about it on my website. And the problem with the birther issue is spelled out on michaelsavage.com, and I don't want to repeat myself on it. We're also talking about circumcision because the sick, anti-American, anti-human ghouls in San Francisco want to make it illegal to circumcise a child. Now, I'd rather not talk about whether or not you think circumcision is humane or not. It's irrelevant. That's a personal choice, and it's codified in the Jewish religion and in the Muslim religion. And therefore, it's not an issue for others to decide. It's an issue for the family to decide. It's not for the state to decide. And yet these vermin in San Francisco who think it's perfectly fine to mutilate a baby in the womb, chop it up and throw it out, take its bodily parts and use it for skin, to make someone's skin look younger, whatever. In other words, to kill an unborn. They have no problem with that, but they have a problem with circumcision. Shows you what a distorted mind is, why I say liberalism is a mental disorder. It distorts everything. Once you go off you're finished forever. The eye that alters all. William Blake wrote that. The eye that alters all. And unfortunately, the progressives had their eyes altered a long time ago, and we have a progressive for president who has an altered eye, and it's altered all. Now that I've laid the groundwork for the two issues which are not connected, circumcision and Obama, I know people are going to confuse what I said and say, Savage went on the radio and said Obama's not circumcised and he shouldn't run for president because of that. Come on. Can you clear this up in your own head? Let's go to the callers. Salt Lake City, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael, just really three quick, real fast points. I agree with you in the fact that you need a pit bull to run against him. Number two, they're not going to make the same mistake with the liberals when they produce that birth certificate. They're not going to make the same mistake that Dan Rather did in the documentations that they produced against George Bush. And then number three, why don't you use your show to vet out that candidate to find the pit bull to run against him?
Donald Trump has apparently been advised by his advisor not to come on the Savage Nation. Remember, he was on this show regularly for a while, and then he started making the rounds of the so-called mainstream media. That's when everything changed for him. And I believe that there's a Trojan horse inside his camp, and that's why they sent him down this road. He's making a big mistake. You know, the smartest person on earth can often make an error. You know that.
I think you're right. I think we need somebody outside the establishment that you vet on your show to get involved in this.
Well, we'll see who comes on the show next to talk about that. I thank you very much. Norfolk, Virginia, Brian, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I am an altered citizen. I've been circumcised. I'm born Catholic. And I regret that now as a 53-year-old man. It totally reduces the sensitivity of your penis. And beyond that, it's a barbaric thing, sort of like cutting the fin off a shark. And a little baby has no choice in the matter.
Well, you know, in that I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to sit here and argue and say that I believe circumcision is a wonderful thing to do. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not it should be made illegal.
Well, I wish it was, until at least the child had was cognizant or could at least have a say in the matter, because you certainly don't when you're first born. And
you make a very good point. The infant has no choice in the matter.
Yeah, they have no... Well, I'm sorry?
No, the infant has no choice.
Yeah, he has no choice, and he has no anesthesia, and it's bloody. And I think they ought to maybe put a film out there and show people what it actually looks like when it's happening. And maybe they would say, yeah, this shouldn't happen until somebody can decide they want that to happen, you know. And I don't care about...
I emotionally and medically, I agree with you. However, I do not want to see the state codifying its illegality.
Okay, well, you've kind of tied it with abortion. I don't believe in abortion, but I also don't believe in circumcision without...
Well, that's very interesting. Okay, I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you. But you see, the point is this. The people in San Francisco who believe that abortion is perfectly valid think that circumcision is not perfectly valid. Does an infant have a choice as to whether or not it wants to be destroyed through an abortion? Of course not. So you should say abortion should be illegal by the same token, correct?
Absolutely. I don't agree with abortion at all. And there's so many Americans out there that would love to adopt babies. There's no reason for abortion in America. But it has nothing to do with circumcision. Circumcision should be something that you...
Well, and we need more Americans so that the Chinese can have more slaves in 20 years. There's no question they're going to need a slave class. And there's no reason we shouldn't breed more slaves for them.
All right, I just wanted to...
All right, I know, okay, I'm very respectful of your position. Let me put it to you that way.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. See, we get intelligent callers. Not everyone argues. You can make your point without getting crazy, right? Now we'll go to the other side of the circumcision issue. Arizona, Catherine, go ahead, you're on the air.
Dr. Savage, it's been medically proven that the male species who have not been circumcised, more diseases are caused.
Well, no, not true. I've heard that for years, but as a trained epidemiologist with a real PhD from a great university, I investigated that. It's the results are quite equivocal. It's not true at all.
Okay. But also, this is a covenant between God and man.
Well, that's another story. So it's a religious belief, which I respect. However, I do not want the state to say that you cannot circumcise a child any more than I want a state to say you must circumcise a child. That is up to the parents to do. That's their right.
And also, you do it.
You know, the more I talk about this, I know what's coming. As sure as I'm sitting here, some idiot lawyer is going to come up with a whole case against parents by some loser child who said, "You circumcised me before I had a choice. I'm suing you for mutilating me."
That's
for
true.
Damages. No, we'll get that soon. That's coming next.
But also think of it this way. A child that young will not remember being circumcised.
Well, they do, though. See, I do. I think that they do have a trauma, a memory of that trauma, personally.
You do?
I personally do, yes.
How old were you?
I didn't say me. I said I believe. Let's not get into me now. No, I said that I believe. You take an infant. What is the most sensitive part of a boy?
I don't know, sir. I honestly, God, don't know.
Well, what would you think? Would it be his pinky, his nose, or his private part?
His private part.
All right. So the child is a few weeks old. The most sensitive part of his anatomy is grabbed by a stranger, surrounded by gaping strangers who are cheering and drunk on some kind of whiskey, if it's done in a religious setting. The child is screaming his head off with fear. It's a trauma. It's a trauma. There's no question about it. I think it does traumatize infants. I mean, personally, you ask me, I'm telling you what I think. That doesn't mean I agree it should be made illegal. I think it's a religious choice. That's all. I know it's going to be misinterpreted, but I don't really, you know, this is what I would say to somebody if I were talking with you in a cafe. This is how I feel about it. So, you want to focus on the economy or on circumcision? I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about circumcision. We're talking about the birth certificate. We're talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about how the Republicans are committing Harry Caray again. But I'm not surprised by the Republicans. I mean, look, I figured this out a while ago. It's a two-party system. I call it a two-card Monty with no nut under either shell. Okay? Or you could say plenty of nuts under both shells. The fact is that Obama's going to win again, and the Republicans are signaling this. And that is because it was 8 years Clinton, then 8 years Bush. It's going to be 8 years Obama. Don't you understand how the game is played? Both parties worked it out a long time ago. The American schmuck can be robbed of everything he owns, and he still won't complain. As long as he's fat, as long as he's got, his stomach full, he's never going to revolt. There's never going to be a problem in this country. You could take away his firstborn and put him on a boat to Shanghai to work in a Chinese slave factory. He probably wouldn't complain. So long as he's got his internet porn, he's got a ball game, and he can go to McDonald's. What does he care? I mean, that's what they think of you. That's all. In other words, we've lost our dignity as a people. New York, WOR, Lillian, welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's California. I was married to a Catholic guy who wasn't circumcised, and then I married a Jewish guy who is circumcised, and the sex with the Jewish guy is much better.
Thank you for sharing. I'm embarrassed to tell you that's very refreshing. Where'd that come from? I mean, we weren't even talking about sex, but here it came up anyway, because I guess you bring up the issue, people start thinking about that part of the anatomy, and it goes to that. So can we avoid the sex talk? It's not that I'm embarrassed by it. It's just that it's boring. I'm not Howard Stern. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if he makes $1 billion. I think he's a lowlife and a schmuck. That's all. Pete in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. It's a pleasure to speak to you. One of the things that I feel is the Chinese, the Indians, the Pakistanis, all these foreign people come to this country, they act poor, and they become wealthy. And how do they do that? They all declare that they're only making so much money, okay, a year, okay, which brings them under the poverty level, and then they can go and get all the government assistance. I think it's time the American people started thinking like that. I'm a capitalist. And, you know, I'm saying to myself,
well, what, 47% of people don't pay taxes in this country? Let's say one out of two doesn't pay taxes? Why is that? Well, and why is it that one out of two people are sitting on the dole? Go drive around. What city are you in, New York?
I'm in on Long Island.
Okay. And how many people are sitting around in Manhattan every day doing nothing? Or on Long Island? You ever noticed how many people are in the malls or sitting around in a coffee shop doing nothing?
Absolutely.
Who's supporting them?
They're playing.
Who's supporting them? San Francisco is filled with cafes. Most of these people have never worked a day in their lives. They got their college degree and then they got an SDSI check or they inherited a few thousand dollars a month from a deceased relative. And they walk around hating America. And they're jealous of anybody who's done better than themselves. They're not paying any taxes. Then you got the illegal aliens. They're not paying any taxes.
Exactly, Mike. By the way, the word commiecrat, where did you pick that up?
I don't know. Did I say that one? I don't even remember using it.
Yep, I was doing something one day and used the term because I started that term back in the 80s. I saw the Communist Party.
I must have stolen it from you. I don't know. Pete, I don't remember. Thanks for the call. I don't even remember. Communists are murderers. They're not good people. Communism cost 100 million lives in the last century. We have a communist in the White House. Will he go to that level? It's hard to say what he will do. It's what his minions will do. I want to remind you of another nice, mild professor who was a professor. He went to Paris. He studied Marxism at the University of Paris at the Sorbonne, I believe. He went back to his home country and he instituted social reform. He transformed his nation. He did not like the mild capitalism that he saw in his homeland because he felt it was unfair and he wanted the rich to pay a little bit more. He wanted the bourgeoisie to pay their fair share. That's how it started. It ended up with a mountain of skulls. His name, Pol Pot. The country, Cambodia. It is a true story. Watch out where the rhetoric starts. It always ends up with a mountain of skulls. It doesn't matter whether Obama himself is a murderer. What matters is where his rhetoric can take this nation. When he starts in with the class warfare, when he starts in with tax the rich, when he starts in with it's only fair, all you got to do is look back in history and don't look for Hitler. Look back to Pol Pot in Cambodia. That is the closest fit that I can find. And many people don't understand how close Obama is emotionally and intellectually to Pol Pot. I'm going to repeat it again. Pol Pot was a nice man. He was a mild-mannered professor. He went to Paris. He studied Marxism, which is an economic theory of redistribution of wealth. He came back to Cambodia, and he said that we need to make it a more fair, equitable system. At the end, anyone with a pair of eyeglasses, that was the teachers, the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers, the police chief. Anybody who had glasses, the entire educated class, was subjugated to slave labor, brutally tortured and killed. And who did it? Do you know who did the killing? Do you know who did the torturing? It were 14 and 15-year-old animals who wore red scarves, and they were called Khmer Rouge. We have millions of unemployed youth in this country. Millions of unemployed youth in this nation who would gladly put on a red scarf and come to your neighborhood and put you into a slave labor camp. All they need is the right person in the White House to organize them. Be very careful indeed with your call for the redistribution of wealth and fairness. It always ends up with a mountain of skulls. Now, you should take this MP3, Beowulf, and put it on my website, send it to Art, and call it a mountain of skulls, because I think people are going to say, God, Savage, that was good. Can you repeat it? So perhaps by tomorrow it'll be up on my website, okay? Right? New York, WOR. Bernie, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I'd have to agree with you. I think Donald Trump's making a mistake in concentrating on the birth certificate. However,
right.
I'd like to commend you for not dismissing his candidacy out of
No, plan. I don't want to dismiss him. I consider him a very intelligent, very viable candidate who should run, but he should stop the birth issue. He should start hammering economics. And business. He could go right to the top if he did that. He's got to stop listening to the Trojan horse in his own side, in his own office.
Savage.
Okay, so let's go back to the issue here of what should Trump be talking about. He's known as a very successful, flamboyant businessman. Yes, so he's been bankrupt twice. Big deal. Okay? Most very, very wealthy people have lost it all and come back to the gambling table. That's the way it works at the high levels. That's not something that would be held against him. Only a fool who doesn't understand business would hold that against him. The little people who are resentful and hateful and full of class envy would hate him for that. They're not going to vote for him anyway. He's got to stick to the economy, the economy, the economy. So today, what's in the news? Euro strikes 16-month high against the dollar. The euro is now $1.46 in the morning trade. That's astonishing. The dollar is collapsing because they are printing money. Geithner should be arrested for crimes against the American people. Geithner is a criminal. If a forger, excuse me, a counterfeiter, there's no difference between what Geithner's doing and what a counterfeiter does who works for a foreign government. He's printing money. When Russia used to print fake $100 bills, the FBI used to investigate the counterfeiting agents that were doing it, where they get the plates from, why are they doing it, it's undermining the currency. Geithner is doing what the counterfeiters did for decades to undermine and destroy America. What, because you call him Treasury Secretary? The man is committing a crime by what he is doing. Now, that's a speech the American people would relate to. That's what Trump ought to be saying. He shouldn't get up there and say, Timothy Geithner is my friend. He should say, what Geithner is doing is criminal by printing money. And if when I'm president, not if, when I'm president, I would stop this runaway printing of money. It's outrageous that the euro is now $1.45. It's outrageous that the Canadian dollar has overtaken the U.S. dollar. It's outrageous that the Swiss franc is rising and we're falling. And I'll put a stop to it by doing the following. But he's not doing that. Instead, Trump has taken a tangential issue, admittedly important to a small sliver of the conservative movement, and he's running with it. And he's running with it because I believe there is a Trojan horse inside his office. That's my estimation. Chicago, Kirk, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? Good to talk to you, Dr. Savage.
Thanks.
Just one quick thing on the birther thing, and I want to talk about my main thing with Trump. I think he's doing the birther thing just to smash it home that who is this guy? Where did he come from? Even if he is born here, no one knows who the guy was up until a few years ago, obviously.
I think he would be better served to talk about Obama's college records rather than his birth records.
Yeah.
I do not know of any other president in history who's been able to hide his college records. Do you?
No, exactly.
George Bush had to expose his college records. George Bush was criticized by these fools in the media because of his National Guard service. They made a mockery of him when he actually flew jets in the National Guard. They went after him like the vicious little harpies that they are. But they have nothing to say about Obama hiding his college courses. We don't even know what his grades were.
Exactly. That could all come out with that. But, you know, my main thing, I wanted to talk to you, Dr. Savage. Don't leave Trump. You know, he needs a forum like you that he can stress borders, language, and culture. He needs a forum where...
When he first came on this show about 6 weeks ago, he was very strong on tariffs against China. He was strong on oil from Iraq. He agreed with me on almost everything. It's as though he had read Trickle-Up Poverty and agreed with every word of it. Something happened along the way. And to the best of my knowledge, a Trojan horse entered his campaign. I've seen it before. I've been down this road before with other Republican candidates who are very happy to come on this show and talk to the independent voter because I represent, my guess is I represent the independent voter more so than any other show in America. Something then happens. They hire campaign strategists who will shift camps quickly as a chameleon changes color. These form shifters called campaign advisors will work for a Democrat and then they'll work for a Republican. They'll do anything they have to do to shaft the candidate. They don't care. All they care about is making sure that they make a living. And I believe that this person inside Trump's headquarters, whoever he may be, and I think I know the man's name, is the man who's advised them not to come on the Savage Nation. And I believe it's a disaster for him personally, professionally, and a disaster for America because he's running with the wrong issue. The only issue Trump should be running on is economics, economics, economics. Nothing else.
Right, Mike. But what I wanted to tell you is, you know, I had a radio show in college, and I could see exactly what you're talking about. When I was in college, I would have these candidates, and I would have their campaign guys on my show, and they would lay out the questions for me. And then they stopped coming on my show when I got off the line. I got Obama's campaign on my show. I started pressing on the health care issue. You know, you can't be on both teams with the issue. You can't have your own health care plan and you know, regulate our health care plan.
Right. Well, there's no question that Donald Trump is a viable candidate. He's a populist. He could win. America wants a courageous buccaneer for president. They're sick and tired of these sneaky Marxists. And if he stuck to the economic issues, he could win. That's my opinion. And that's why I say the birther issue is he's not barking up the wrong tree. Don't get me wrong now. What he's doing is he's going down the wrong road if he really chooses to run. That's the point. New York Tom, your opinion from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm like you. I agree with that it shouldn't be a central issue. The way I feel about it is that Trump has already damaged himself because he's basically, he could never go back to talking about economics because every issue, every interview that he does, they're going to start asking him about it. Because they
well,
know-
I think you're right. That's because the vermin in the media who caused the overthrow of Mubarak and the introduction of Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood, which as sure as I'm sitting here is coming to the country of Egypt and others, have no qualms about destroying a true American. There's no question about it. I agree that that's what they're going to do, but they could get around. I could get around that. I could get around it by personally attacking the news guy who did it to me. Let's say I'm Donald Trump. I'll role play with you. And I get up there and I say, all right, I've covered the issue of the birth. I want to move on and talk about the economy. Here's what I would do. And every time they try to bring it back to the birth, I'd say, is there something wrong with you? I'd say to the newscaster, what part of the economic collapse that we're living through don't you get? What part of you doesn't understand that printing money is a disaster? Is there something wrong with you that you're harping on the birth issue? Turn it right back in their face. I mean, they're not the smartest people on earth, these journalists. They're usually B or D or C students. Okay? Journalism school gets the dregs of humanity. J school is the bottom of the barrel. Ask any professor. The lowest of the low go to journalism school. They're not the smartest kids. The smartest kids who wind up in journalism come to it from another field. That's all. Like me, because I'm not a journalist. I'm an opinion maker. I am a commentator. Make no mistake about it. I would never use the word journalist attached to myself. I consider it a dirty shame. It'd be like a leper. If someone says they're a journalist, I want nothing to do with them. What does a journalist mean? They went to a school where they were brainwashed for X number of years by communists? I know all about the journalism schools. They're run by naked, hardcore communists, every last one of them. And they don't let conservatives in there. If they do, they're tokens. They're like blacks in the Harvard University in the 1940s. That's who goes to journalism. That's a conservative in a journalism school today. I mean, I know the situation. So now let's focus on the economy. It's the economy stupid. It's the economy stupid. What Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, is doing with his quantitative easing is the equivalent of what counterfeiters would be doing, printing money. A counterfeiter would get caught by the FBI and arrested for 20, 30 years. Why is Geithner allowed to do what a counterfeiter can't do? Okay, quote what I just said. I say the Treasury Secretary is the equivalent of a counterfeiter. If he's printing greenbacks, which have no basis in gold, no basis in any value, and China is dumping this worthless paper, then it's the equivalent of a counterfeiter trying to purposely destroy our currency. That's an issue to deal with. That's something the average person can relate to. Sacramento John, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just want to tell you that your analogy with Pol Pot is 100% on the money.
Are you a Vietnam vet?
I am not, sir. I am a person who was in foreign service in Europe and also in Asia, who now lives in Beijing. I'm only visiting California right now.
Mm.
But where I live currently, one of my very good friends is the youngest son of the previous, what would be the CIA director for China, so their secret service, underneath
right.
Mao. And during the time of Mao's getting older and then the when he was pretty much pushed off to the side, people were trying to depose him, shuffling for power, he devised a plan that wound up throwing China into the Cultural Revolution. And the man who did that was a man named Kang Shen. He was a doctor of medicine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, look at the other guys. We got cars.
So, in other words, Mao Zedong's murderous rampage only occurred when he was being pushed out of power. That's when he reverted to the ultimate class warfare and the slaughter of 60 million Chinese.
That is exactly correct. That is, your analogy is right on the money. And it just
you agree with me that Pol Pot was a mild-mannered professor who went to Paris and became radicalized at the University of Paris, I believe, at the Sorbonne, and came back and introduced class warfare the very same way that Obama's doing it.
Yes, he did.
Well, why is it that I'm the only one in AM radio who understands history at all? Why? What is wrong with these people? They keep making these false analogies between Obama and other cultural, historic figures. They don't quite understand who he is. I believe that that's the closest analogy and the most accurate one, and you're confirming this.
Absolutely. They get lost in the moment. When everybody's, you know, it's the old, when you're up to your butt in alligators, you don't think about draining the swamp. Everybody's lost in the malaise of all.
See, again, I want to repeat that it was not Pol Pot himself who did the torturing, who did the killing, and supervised the killing fields. Pol Pot wanted nothing to do with it, in the same way Hitler had nothing to do with the death camps personally. Hitler didn't go past the death camps and look at the dead Jews. No, he didn't look at it. He turned it over to the brutal murderers within his own country, the sadists who enjoyed that kind of thing. And in Pol Pot's case, this is what worries me. He used the amoral children of Cambodia, the heartless, soulless monsters, the children, the country peasant children who had no education whatsoever, and he told them that the educated class were their enemy, and they killed anybody who had eyeglasses. The same thing, by the way, was done in Vietnam. You ask people who fought in Vietnam, who went to the Perfume City, who tripped over mass graves, and never forgot it for the next 40 years when they dug them up and they saw people holding their babies, the police chiefs, the teachers, the students. Anybody from the educated class was slaughtered by the North Vietnamese when they rampaged through South Vietnam. Go ask Walter Cronkite's relatives why he never talked about that bastard.
Guys of pathological altruism.
Well, I'm glad that you're passing through America. China has gone through this phase. I hope to God they never go through it again. What is the prognosis for the Chinese people? Do you think that they will ever revert to that form of barbarism?
That's out of the bag. They'll never go back. And there is a generation right now. We have a man right now on the standing committee for China who has already been slated to be the next premier. He probably in the next year or two, he will succeed Hu Jintao.
What you're telling me, if you're really a highly placed Foreign Service guy, as you say you are, which I assume you are, the way your voice is coming through, it almost sounds as though you're calling me from out of the country or on a computer, which is fine. I suspect that Obama is too radical for the Chinese.
I suspect you're right.
I suspect that the leaders of China are actually shocked that the American people have not impeached this man, because he is far more radical than the Chinese communists are.
I don't think it's much. I think what they fear is his unpredictability. They've lived through this.
Yes, and he hasn't lived through it. He is a college professor who thinks that progressivism is the road to the Garden of Eden. He has not even understood he doesn't even understand history. He's caught up in his own rhetoric. But, you know, I stumbled on an idea just now, which I'm going to try to develop over the next few days. I believe that Obama is frankly, too radical for the communist Chinese. I think that they fear him, and that's why they want to dump the U.S. Bonds, the treasuries, because they realize this man is so drunk with stupidity and drunk on his own absolute power that there's almost no stopping him. And with their number one market, number one, and number two, they're holding notes that may not have any value at the end of the day. So therefore, he's a bad manager and a dangerous individual as well. The Chinese probably want somebody far more balanced running America.
Well, I think the key was just last year, Gaither was in Beijing addressing doctoral-level students of economics on the safety of the U.S. currency.
Yeah.
And normally, very polite, never say anything wrong, always be respectful. Chinese students laughed him off the stage.
Well, because they look. First of all, the guy looks like a like what he is. He looks like a stooge. He's just repeating what others have told him to read. He looks like a stooge. So there's no authority in Tim Geithner. But you would agree with me, as Treasury Secretary, what he's doing is the equivalent of counterfeiting our currency.
Yeah, but he's a stooge. He's downstream.
Yes, he's far downstream. Well, I'm going to play with this idea that Obama is frightening the communist Chinese because he's too radical even for them. And on top of it all, he is a bad manager. Another analogy comes from history, which is King Ludwig II of Bavaria, an obscure political figure. I'm the only one who actually was fascinated by I'm the only one who even remembers who he is. I once wrote an essay on King Ludwig II when I was 18 years old and tried to get it published in Esquire magazine, and they sent it back saying it wasn't up to their standards. My friend, can I send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty? Do you have an address we can find? I would love that. All right, stay on the line. We'll get it to a mailbox somewhere in Beijing. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. And again, I want to just reassert what I said. There's a problem with the birther issue, which is that it's irrelevant in the sense that there are bigger issues that we have to focus on. And most of these other issues would get lost on the average American. You have to focus only on the economy. You've got $5, $6 a gallon gas, probably higher by the time of the campaign. How much more do you need? Any other candidate would be undermined. But what, because he's the first black president? You can't bring up the gas prices that he caused? You can blame Bush for that? No. How about the war in Afghanistan? He ran as an anti-war candidate. We got men dying, coming back mutilated and dead from Afghanistan. Not one word from the vermin in the media. Two issues. I've given you two. Economy and Afghanistan. How many more do you need? Why do you have to go off on a tangent with the birth issue? Of course there's a question about where he was born. How about the fact that he's legally sealed at the cost of millions of dollars, all of his academic records, his medical records, and his travel records? What's he hiding? Why is he hiding his travel records, his medical records, and his academic records? What has he got to hide? So even if he pulls up a bogus or authentic birth certificate, it's irrelevant. I then want to see his academic records. I want to know how he got into Columbia from Occidental. I want to know how he got into Harvard from Columbia. I want to know why he was selected to be the editor of the Harvard Law Review when they were far more intelligent and far more qualified individuals than him at that time who could have been the editor of the Harvard Law Review. Why was he picked? Maybe we should find out why he was chosen. Who chose him? On what basis did they choose him? Was it based on his brilliant writings? Well, what are these writings? I'd like to see them. Perhaps he is far more brilliant than we think. And so you can go into all of this, but the fact of the matter is he comes from a very questionable background to begin with. His father... You should not blame a man for his father. We don't choose our fathers. But his father was an individual that is worth looking into. He was not this dignified professor that they're trying to make him into. His mother, well, I think you can pretty much put together what it's all about. But you have to understand what I said to you earlier. The model to use, the template to use in trying to analyze this man is the mild-mannered professor named Pol Pot, who went to Paris, became a Marxist, came back and introduced class warfare and simple fairness. The end result was a mountain of skulls. 3 million middle-class Cambodians, that is anyone with a pair of eyeglasses, was worked to death and then slaughtered by the 14-year-old animals.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up! Here's the problem with the birther issue. It's irrelevant where he was born in one sense and quite relevant in another. It's relevant because if he wasn't born here, then he's not qualified to be president. However, even if it turned out to be true that that is so, that he wasn't born here, it's too late to impeach him for that in the sense that it would take 2 years to get an impeachment hearing going, at which point he'd be out of business. That's number one. But to link all of your criticisms about this Marxist to the birth certificate issue is a disastrous error for two reasons. First, because his biggest crimes and misdemeanors are not about where he was born, but about his social policies, most particularly his economic policies, which are classic Das Kapital's Marxism. Secondly, there's another major problem with this, which is that he is probably going to pull out an authentic birth certificate or facsimile thereof just around the time of the debates during the next election, probably when he faces his Republican opponent. If he does that, it's the end of the road for the Republicans if they've linked themselves to this issue, and even if they haven't, for another reason. Let's say the candidate is a middle-of-the-road Romney, who has never linked himself to the birther issue. Obama's going to show his real birth certificate, and if Romney should, God forbid, accuse him truthfully of being a Marxist socialist economically, which he is, but which I doubt Romney would have the guts to do, Obama's going to pull out the real birth certificate and say, you know, Mitt, here's the problem with your argument. Your crackpot Republican Party accused me of not even being an American, and yet here's my birth certificate. And now you're going out of your way as an extremist to say I'm a Marxist, when in fact I'm a centrist just trying to help the most number of American people. And I believe that'll be the end of the Republican Party as we know it. And that is why the birther controversy is a disaster on which to hang all of our criticisms of Obama. Remember who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a criminal gangster regime that is printing money based on nothing. They have the printing presses. If they can print money and bonds that have no value, why do you assume they couldn't forge in a, quote, original birth certificate at the end of the road and use it to foist this charlatan upon America again? Beware the Ides of April, the birther issue on Michael Savage. Now, that'll be up on michaelsavage.com. Let's see what else is up there today. Don't miss violent clash at Sikh temple in New York City, where two bands of Sikhs attacked each other in a temple with their swords. Oh, well, there's multiculturalism for you. Different strokes for different folks, I guess. Proposition 8 sponsors press for overturn of ruling after judge's revelation that he's gay. Really? Obama to Christians, forget you. Okay, he'll take the Easter Bunny. You know all those terrorists? Well, most of them were radicalized in London while living on welfare. That's right. Preachers who live off state benefits after claiming asylum in London have been identified by American authorities as key recruiters of radicals who have gone to war against America. They're not banned from England. I am. Amazing. Isn't that astounding? EPA blocks Shell Oil from drilling off Alaska. That's because Obama wants high oil prices. The IMF says the age of America nears an end. Californians want to cut benefits to public employees, but don't tell that to Governor Jerry Brown. Palestinian cop killed an Israeli and shot other Jews. Mexico ignored the clues as the mass graves filled. These are all on michaelsavage.com. Chinese police cracked down on Christians during Easter, but your sneakers are cheap. Obama, you can't pee on our backs and call it rain, written by Michael Savage. It's there for you. Don't miss my essay, The War of the Egghead Academics. And, of course, don't miss the TSA perv arrested on child porn charges. Oh, yeah, he frisked girls, boys. Good Samaritan stomped to death. A horrible story. Horrible story. Man tried to break up a fight between a boozy man and woman. They stomped him to death on a New York street. Okay, don't be a good Samaritan. New York City's fireproof criminal teachers go back to class. What's that about? I'm a former teacher, so don't think I'm bashing teachers. They've killed, looted taxpayer funds, and committed other heinous crimes, but the city can't keep these criminals out of the classroom. Okay, now you know why Johnny can't read. Adults who claim to have ADHD, 1 in 4 may be faking it. Who told you that first? Well, me. Savage ratings soaring. Go take a look at the numbers for yourself. It's all on michaelsavage.com. As far as breaking news goes, we have the latest for you on this program, as you well know. Tornadoes whip Texas wildfires. Can't do anything about that. Well, unless you're Obama. Only 38% of Americans say Obama is definitely born in the USA. Firefighters union to hold contributions to Democrats. I wonder why. Can't figure that one out. You want to go to the space ride on Virgin Atlantic? Cost you $200,000. Syria, your friends in Syria? No drones for them. Tanks, airplanes, 400 killed in revolt. Obama has nothing to say about the Syrian Arab Spring. I guess in some Arab countries it's a spring. In other places it doesn't exist. Springtime for Assad. And now, finally, for those of you who are afraid you're living in Big Brother land, Cleveland has banned outdoor smoking and trans fat in restaurants. All this and more on the Savage Nation today. Portland, Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you're so right on to the point. I wanted to give you an example where I came from. I came from China 19 years ago. Like you said, there is nobody that time was rich. So guess what? Everybody's salary is 36 yuan a month.
Mm-hmm.
And who is he going to tax from any rich? Because there was no rich left.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's taking from everybody, average people. People mm-hmm. work at the 7-Eleven. So yeah. Those people will be the ultimate victim of his Marxist.
Yes. Daniel, let me ask you something. As a man from China, with the mixture of socialism and capitalism in China, there's an enormous wealthy class in China today, correct?
Yes, sir.
And what is the tax rate on the wealthy in China?
The tax rate on the wealthy is about 40%, sir.
It is 40%?
Yes, sir.
40%. So Obama's copying the communist Chinese in the percent that he would like to tax the wealthy here.
Yes, sir.
He wants to raise it from 30. He wants to raise it from about 36 to 39%, is approximate the same exact tax rate as communist China. Do they also pay state taxes in China in addition to federal?
No, just federal taxing.
Ah, so the 40% is it? There's not another 10% as in the criminal state of California.
No.
What is your state tax in Oregon? It was just raised, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It's about 8 and 9% now.
Sure, they have a huge welfare class, don't they, in Oregon?
Yes, sir. And the people like me, I'm paying for 20 people who I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to fight communism with the last breath that I have because I know what it's done to the world. 100 million people died as a result of this distorted, sick philosophy. And just when we should have elected a naked capitalist, We elected a naked Marxist and put him into the White House, and this is what we're getting now. He's doing everything wrong. Everything is upside down and everything is backwards. Daniel, you know, I spelled it all out in Trickle Up Poverty. If you don't have the book, there's going to be one sent to you tomorrow. Please stay on the line. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. And I was right again. Finally, the Old York Times reported on the Arizona monster that he was a pothead and a salvia addict. They wrote, being around people who smoke pot, they tend to be a little paranoid. No kidding. But he was also a salvia addict, disconnected from reality. But let's not get into it. What these drugs do to geniuses is different than what they do to an ordinary person. This is an interesting show topic unto itself, by the way. I've told you before I smoked marijuana in college like everyone I knew did, except for the few nerdy kids, God bless them, they were smart enough to avoid it. I hated marijuana, what it did to me. I hated it, but I did it because it was part of the initiation rite of the crowd I was with, and also because everybody smoked it, and you're considered a schmuck if you didn't. A weakling, a loser, you weren't hip, you weren't cool. And you know, every time I smoked it, I had a paranoid reaction. My palms would sweat. I'd have a sense of reality would change. I hated this stuff. I went along with it because I was a kid under peer pressure. And people would say to me, what's wrong with you? Why do you have paranoia from marijuana? It mellows me out. And I was saying to myself, you know what? There's a difference between a guitar and a violin. And most of the people who got mellowed out from marijuana were like a banjo with two strings. I didn't know I was a Stradivarius. You don't screw with a Stradivarius. You know what I'm saying? If you're a banjo, good. Marijuana is wonderful for you. Oh, mellow. I'll have some tequila and marijuana. I'll get really mellow. Well, good, because you got a one-string guitar, that's all. A one-string banjo, so I mellowed you out. But go try to deal with it if you're a harp, you know, or a harpsichord as a human being, or a mind like a harpsichord. You don't want to tamper with drugs if you got a harpsichord for a brain. And I want you to tell your children that. I want you to tell your children that. That drugs are for the banjos, not for the harpsichords amongst us. This society can only be saved by the harpsichord minds. The alphas. God bless the alphas. Favorite. There was talk about putting it on his tombstone when he died, but it was a little too. No, you don't play with a thing like that. I'm feeling very vulnerable lately. I don't know, Jerry Vale, Gennaro Luigi Vitaliano. What a beautiful voice. Play it a little louder. Gennaro Luigi Vitaliano. Listen to this melody. Go ahead, tell me you can sing like that yourself. July 8th. 1932, Bronx, New York. So many great singers came out of the Bronx, street corner people. You can't even produce a singer in America. Everything is whiny chick music. Wherever you go, it sounds like it's from Bombay. Where you go into a changing room in Macy's. Every minute it's another whiny chick. Where the baritones go and the singers? You don't hear like a voice like this or Dean Martin. Everything is a whiny chick song. Out of country. Feminized, destroyed. The whole country's feminized, rotten from the inside out. The pink shirts now are going to save you. John Boehner's going to save you. Everything's a show trial with them. Let me hear Jerry Vale again. Gennaro Vitaliano. I'm in such a bad mood, I don't even want to eat food tonight. That's not real. Maybe, I mean, that's a bad sign. When I lose my appetite, that's not good. My fingers are cold, I have no appetite. I've become icy cold and I lost my appetite. I had to take an Alka-Seltzer an hour ago. The guy with the big ears, the Alfred E. Newman. I don't believe this. The president's going to speak. What will the president say, Doris? Well, the president is likely to say that we're going to cut here and cut there, trim here and trim there, just a little bit of a trim, and we must be civil. By all means, be civil. Give up your guns, give up your bullets, and be civil. Give up your tongue, give up your thoughts. You must be civil. Be civil above all. You must not disagree with anything we socialist Democrats say. Now that we're in power of taking away your rights, certainly be civil. Play Jerry. Okay, thank you very much. Jerry Vale, Gennaro Vitaliano, 1932.
All the stories have been told of kings in days of old, but there's no England now. All the wars that were won or lost somehow don't seem to matter very much anymore. All the lies we were told.
I got to tell you, again, I mean, I hate to keep repeating it, but people run into me. They say, oh, you mean you're still banned in England? Where did the lie come out that I was lifted from the ban? I'm still not allowed to go to England for the famous cuisine and to get my dental work done. I mean, I've been trying to get into England for 2 years to have my teeth fixed because they have such superb dental care. Just look at their teeth. But all kidding aside, I'm still banned in England. I'm having a tooth put in here for my dentist. Oh, I'm not looking forward to it. I told you what happened. Did you hear this story? You know, they put the titanium pin in your mouth and they put a tooth and then a couple of months later, it's like a regular tooth. It's a very good procedure. What happened was 2 years ago on a December, I had one of these put in. And a few weeks later, I went to dinner with Mitt Romney, of all people. He had actually emailed me and he asked for a sit down with me alone. It was like O'Reilly and Obama, but it was in an Italian restaurant. It was in North Beach restaurant, actually, in San Francisco. My friend Lorenzo owns the place. Great food. We sat in the window, Mitt Romney and I, and I thought we had a very good conversation. And when he raised, I do respect the man. I want to be very clear. And I would choose him over Obama, but he's a moderate, 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 middle-of-the-road Republican. You're going to get no action on illegal immigration and on many, many other important points, but you'll get more than you would out of, let us say, a guy like McCain, okay? So I had dinner with Romney. I came home. I was, remember, 2 weeks into this tooth implant, right? I was very, very agitated, excited over the meeting, and I tried to explain it to Mrs. S., and I didn't look, and I bit down on a piece of hard Italian bread, and bingo, I hear a snap, like you break a leg, a ping, and that was the end of that tooth. So then I had to go through the whole procedure, the cadaver bone. That was 4 months until it set in the head. I didn't know what what worried me was. I kept jokingly saying to myself, I thought he put a piece of plastic bone in. It turns out, no, it was cadaver bone, which I didn't want. Because then you worry, who was the cadaver? Was it a drunk? Was it a junkie? Was it a communist bone? Would the DNA transfer? It's allegedly sterile bone, but I didn't know whether it had been a former worker for the, you know, you didn't own him. So thus far, I see no change in personality. So it's over a year later that the bone has been in my head, and now I can finally have a new pin put in. But it's the last shot. If I break another pin, I'm finished. So what's the challenge? The challenge is to not eat on the right side of my mouth for another 6 months. Okay, that's it. Go to michaelsavage.com and sign the petition, would you please? All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
Kathy Haven is a columnist and budget analyst at the Cato Institute, has written extensively about the monstrous debt and the debt ceiling and the horrible game politicians are toying with it. Tad, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for having me on.
Socialist Democrats say that Armageddon is coming if we don't raise the debt ceiling, meaning if we don't borrow and print more money. I believe they're just scaremongering, obviously.
Yeah, let me start by setting the stage for what's going on in Washington with regard to raising the debt ceiling. This is the latest installment in a decades-long series of showdowns on Capitol Hill over increasing the statutory debt ceiling. The origins of the federal government's debt limit can be traced back to 1917 when the country was borrowing money to finance World War I. The ceiling has been raised 10 times in just the last 9 years alone to make room for almost $8 trillion in additional debt. This time, the stakes are much higher because voters become more aware of the danger of allowing Uncle Sam to continue abusing his credit card. The Republicans retaking the House in November, due in part to a promise to address the government's runaway debt, immediately set the stage for this confrontation with the Obama administration over the raising the ceiling above $14.3 trillion, which we're going to reach here at some point in the spring or summer. Republicans have balked at the prospect of raising the ceiling with also getting some sort of agreement from the White House to enact substantial spending cuts or budget reforms that would slow the growth in government spending. Of course, the White House is arguing that the GOP stubbornness could usher in the apocalypse. We have Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner saying that failing to increase the ceiling would result in catastrophic economic consequences that could last for decades. The president's chief economic advisor, Austin Goolsbee, claims that a failure to increase the ceiling would cause the worst financial crisis, worse than anything we saw in 2008. And I say nice try to that. Look back in 2006, then-Senator Obama apparently wasn't concerned about the catastrophic economic consequences when he voted against raising the debt ceiling. He told his Senate colleagues at the time that raising America's debt limit is a sign of leadership. And yes, Obama was correct then that raising the debt ceiling represented a failure of leadership, particularly that of then-President Bush. Unfortunately, his own failure of leadership as president is exacerbating the debt burden that Washington is foisting onto future generations. Of course, the White House's alarmist rhetoric is intended to spook the public into its corner.
Doesn't the administration realize that the debt ceiling is going to be raised despite what some Republicans want?
The administration knows the debt ceiling will almost certainly once again be raised. It just wants to limit the amount of flesh that the Republicans will be able to extract and return. Goolsbee warns that the debate over raising the debt ceiling is, quote-unquote, not a game. But I think it is a game, and a decidedly political one, between two parties vying to control the lever of government power. Now, a failure to raise the debt ceiling would not immediately result in the government defaulting on its obligations. There's nothing stopping the Treasury from meeting its debt obligations with the tax revenues that would continue to flow into the government's coffers. It would mean that because the government wouldn't be able to issue new debt, it wouldn't be able to pay all of its expenses, given that it's still spending well beyond what it collects in taxes. And that's the rub. The debt represents a conscious decision to consume today at the expense of tomorrow. And unfortunately, Americans have long grown accustomed to living at their neighbor's expense via the government, with politicians only too happy to assist. However, Americans don't like it when their neighbor tries to live at their expense. And politicians in Washington have solved this dilemma by issuing gobs of debt, which means that Americans are now living at the expense of their neighbor's kids as well as their own. And the reality is that we simply cannot operate like this forever. We're fast approaching the breaking point. Just last week, S&P, a debt rating agency, took a negative outlook on the government's finances. Now, that wasn't much of a shock to me, but it did serve as another useful wake-up call to the public.
The administration is using class warfare and talking about taxing the rich, saying that'll solve all our problems.
I would argue that trying to tax our way out of the problem would undermine the economic growth needed to help ease our way out of this mess while perpetuating and deepening the country's pathological dependency on government. I argue that only a drastic reduction in the size and scope of the federal government can both alleviate the debt burden and put the economy on sounder footing for future generations. Unfortunately, Republicans have thus far failed to articulate any sort of vision of what the scope of the federal government's activities should be. And two examples, recent examples. First, Republicans and Democrats just concluded 2 months of fighting over funding the government for the rest of the year. And what was the result of that? They agreed to cut spending over the next few years by about $20 to $25 billion. Now, this is according to the Congressional Budget Office. Now, that's relatively peanuts. And making matters worse, only about $352 million of the reduced spending would actually occur this year. Now, stop and think about that. That's $352 million in cuts. When we're scheduled to spend over $3.6 trillion this year, the deficit this year is going to be about $1.4 trillion. Heck, we're going to spend about $213 billion alone just on interest. And I would argue that one reason why Republicans weren't able to get bigger spending cuts is that they couched the cuts they were proposing in almost apologetic terms. We're sorry, we're broke, we have to cut this stuff. They didn't make a case that the country would be better off with a smaller federal government. I think the Republicans should have been arguing for these cuts as if we were going to run a $1.4 trillion surplus this year. I actually recently went back and looked at a package of spending cuts that Newt Gingrich got passed in 1995. And dozens of the same agencies and programs that Newt cut were the same agencies and programs that the Boehner Republicans just cut. And in the intervening 15 years, spending across the board went through the roof. The lesson here being that if you don't eliminate government functions, that is, curb the scope of the government's activities, the cuts will be fleeting. You also have the Republican chairman of the House Budget Committee, Paul Ryan. He recently released his budget plan for the next fiscal year 2012. Now, Ryan deserves credit for trying to cut spending on two of the biggest drivers of our fiscal problems, Medicare and Medicaid. But his budget plan did not address the scope of government. In his plan, Ryan talks about limited government in the Constitution. But then he goes on to refer to these major entitlement welfare programs as being part of a quote-unquote social contract. That's the same language that Obama and the left uses. Ryan says he wants to preserve these programs for future generations. As a member of a generation that's footing the bill for these unsustainable programs, all I can say is don't do me any favors, Congressman. And has Ryan's adoption of the left's rhetoric even helped him? I don't think so. The Democrats are already running television ads around the country telling old people that they're going to have to go back to work to scrounge up money to pay for their medical bills as a result of Ryan's heartless plan. And That's even though Ryan's plan doesn't even touch Medicare for those who are 55 and older. But in the world of politics, as you probably know, the facts simply don't matter. And I guess turnabout is fair play, given that during the debate over Obamacare, the Republicans tried to scare old people as well.
Will Republicans be able to attach any spending cuts to the debt ceiling vote?
I strongly doubt that the Republicans will allow the government to default on the debt. But Speaker Boehner is in a difficult spot because he knows that he has his job as a result of the Republicans promising, once again, if you elect us, we will rein in spending and debt. So you have Tea Party sympathetic Republicans are already unhappy with the recent budget agreement. But on the other hand, the Democrats still control the Senate and the White House, which means that Boehner is going to have to strike a deal that satisfies the Tea Party types, but that also gets through the Senate and gets the president's signature. Now, this never-ending political back and forth by both parties when it comes to this vote to raise the debt limit has caused some commentators to suggest that Congress should just do away with the limit altogether. They argue that this political brinksmanship simply isn't worth the risk to the country's well-being. I believe that forcing policymakers to spar publicly over fiscal policy is healthy, especially at a time when analysts generally agree that the country is headed towards an economic catastrophe if Washington's mounting debt isn't brought under control. So the country's economic well-being is already at risk. I don't see what there is to be gained from scrapping a tool, albeit a political one, that focuses needed attention on a serious problem. So while the political stakes in this latest debt ceiling game are high, I think the consequences of failing to use as an opportunity to start reining in the federal government are even higher. I think in that regard, Republicans need to push for budget reforms that inhibit the ability of the government to continue spending beyond its means. I think a cap on overall spending going forward makes the most sense and would be easiest for citizens to understand, which is very important. If Congress spends over the limit, then you have automatic across-the-board cuts, which would be made by the Office of Management and Budget. And in fact, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, a Republican, he's introduced a bill that actually has some Democratic support that does cap federal spending and over time shrinks it. We have a website, downsizinggovernment.org, where we show that just merely limiting government spending to increases of 3% a year over the next 10 years would practically balance the budget, and that includes no tax increases. Now, a 3% increase every year in federal spending is admittedly hard for me to get excited about, but the point is that even a modest reduction in the growth in government spending would help us avoid a fiscal catastrophe. And quite honestly, Michael, if Washington, the American people, can't get behind limiting the federal government to 3% spending growth, then I can only conclude that the country's addiction to government spending has reached the point of no return.
Tad, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, thank you for having me on, and I would encourage your listeners out there to check us out at downsizinggovernment.org for all the information on how we get to where we need to go in our fiscal problems.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
There's a rumor going around radio that there are people calling into certain shows that are paid to do so. Now, I'm going to show you right now, first of all, before I start this discussion, that I do not, nor does my syndicator, pay anybody to call my show to pretend that they're calling in to, create any startling kind of reactions. But we learned that there actually are people who are hired as actors who are auditioning for a company called Premier On Call, and then they join a roster of ready-to-work actors, and they're paid $40 an hour, and they call in, allegedly, some real great shows out there, such as Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Sean Hannity, allegedly. Now, I can't believe this is true, so we looked into this. We know that the people who are putting out the story are left-wing fanatics. This story that, you know what I'm talking about yet? Ladies and gentlemen, let's start from the top. This is the Savage Nation. We are talking about an alleged a scandal that some of the top conservative shows in radio, or they're all top, all the shows in radio that are top are conservative. You got Rush number one, Hannity number two because he filled in for him, and the wall banger, you know, got lucky. And then I'm number three. And then, of course, the hemorrhoid, well, you know, we know where he's going, Mr. Blackboard. But the fact is, I don't use callers, you know, that I pay for. But the question is, if this is true, where did this originate from? So we looked into this story, and it turns out that Premier Radio does have an audition request form online, and you could fill it out with your voice information. Please describe your voice, include local or native accent. Adjectives might include gruff, light, clean, crisp, high, deep, textured. And then you request an audition to audition for Premier Radio. And then if you pass, you get paid to call Rush Limbaugh, allegedly, and Wallbanger, and whichever question they give you. Well, here's what they say. It says, Premier On Call is our new custom caller service. We supply voice talent to take make your on-air calls, improvise your scenes, or deliver your scripts. Using our simple online booking tool, blah, 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 especially the kind of voice you need. And unless you request it, you won't hear the same voice again for at least 2 months, ensuring the authenticity of your programming for avid listeners. So if this is true, this is quite scandalous. Michael Harrison, the editor of Talkers magazine. Talkers is the talk radio world's leading trade publication. So Harrison of Talkers said he knew nothing of this particular service, but was not altogether surprised to hear that it was in place. There was, he said, a tradition of creating fake phone calls for the sake of entertainment on some of the funny shows, shock jock shows, in other words, blah, blah, blah. In other words, like a Howard Stern show. So, okay, so we looked into the people putting out this rumor, and it came originally from a so-called Jewish website called Tablet. And whenever I hear a website, a Jewish website, I know right away it's usually a left-wing fanatic. And we looked into this, and sure enough, the contributors to this website that put out this story about fake callers are all left-wing fanatics. You've got Victor Navasky, who was once a publisher of The Nation magazine, which is a communist publication, and he's now publisher emeritus, so that fits. The author of the article is Leil Leibovitz. And this man apparently spends more time playing video games than he does drinking coffee. Then, so in other words, you've got left-wing fanatics attacking the conservatives again. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What do you want to talk about? Oh, this is a good call. Tom in Chicago, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Love the show. I'm responding to the lady you had on the phone who was using sarcasm as an indicator of intelligence. When I think of an intelligent person, I think some of the smartest people are comedians. And I would say on the whole, there's not a lot of funny female comedians because a lot of women just use dime a dozen sarcasm as a substitute for humor.
No, let me explain this. This is a very important misunderstanding. No, the bad women comedians are using irony, not sarcasm. There's two distinct elements of humor. They're very different. I use sarcasm. I don't use irony. Irony is a subtext of sarcasm. It's something that's quite sophomoric. One of the cretins on MSNBC, every statement that comes out of her mouth is an attempt at irony, as though she's at a sorority house, and if you say it in an ironic way, you are thought to be clever and smart and with it. You get it? And that's what they use, is constant badgering you with sophomoric, ironic statements. But sarcasm is quite different than irony, as is satire, is different again. You know, I did a whole essay on this, and that's why I won the Freedom of Speech Award in 2007. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
No, Michael Savage was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award in 2000 by the Talkers magazines. But it's based upon the realities of me understanding the difference between satire, sarcasm, irony, etc. This is a very, very interesting subject that is worthy of discussion at another time, but thank you for the call. Philly, PA. Billy in Philly. Billy in Philly, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, your indignant rants, they're awesome. Step them up, and you can't be...
Well, no, I shouldn't step them up, because it's soon going to be illegal to be angry at the politicians. You could see where they're moving now. They're calling it divisive and somewhat un-American, because they're such public servants.
Oh, God. Get the digs in while you can, and the sarcasm is awesome. That's why we tune into you. Your take on the world is just...
My sarcasm, you know why women like me? Because it's very like women like to be sarcastic. They're more sarcastic than men. Isn't that true?
No.
Men don't have the brains to be sarcastic. That's the only reason they're not sarcastic.
Well,
you know, wait a minute. That's a good embroidered pillow statement. Let me think. In dog years, I'm dead, so I can make up my own embroidered pillows. Let's see. Men are not sarcastic because they don't have the brains to be. That's not a bad one. But why are women more sarcastic generally than men is a good question. Is it hormonal or that they're smarter?
Are you asking me?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
I guess because they're smarter, yeah.
Are women really smarter than men? I think they have to be because men are such brutes. In general, to put up with a guy and the way he is towards women, I look around sometimes. I mean, I could see why a lot of women become gay. I'll tell you the truth. I know I shouldn't have said that, but truthfully, you could see what happens.
Savage.